In your Bibles tonight, the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter number 2, and in our character study, I skipped Daniel chapter number 2, but I really felt led of the Lord to come here tonight, and I want to read a large portion of this passage of Scripture to you, and look at this story, and Daniel has a purpose in his heart not to defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. He's 10 times better, at least, than everybody else around him, and God exalts Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And they are now officially wise men in Babylon. And as wise men in Babylon, they find themselves in a little hairy situation in chapter number 2 because old King Nebuchadnezzar has had a dream and he can't remember what it is. So if you'd follow along with me in Daniel chapter number 2, begin reading in verse number 1. And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams, wherewith his spirit was troubled, and his sleep brake from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians, and the astrologers, and the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans, for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, The thing is gone from me. If ye will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. But if ye show the dream and the interpretation thereof, ye shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. They answered again and said, Let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it. The king answered and said, I know of certainty that ye would gain the time, because ye see the thing is gone from me. But if ye will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you. For ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me, till the time be changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that ye can show me the interpretation thereof. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, There's not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other that can show it before the king, except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. For this cause the king was angry and very furious, and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain. And they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, Why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time, and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changed the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee. For thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. Therefore Daniel went in unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus unto him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste, and said thus unto him, I have found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. So Daniel is given in the night knowledge and understanding of what the dream of Nebuchadnezzar was. And when Nebuchadnezzar looks at him and says, can you tell me my dream and the interpretation thereof? You see, Nebuchadnezzar posed a big problem. The big problem was not only did he have a dream that troubled him that needed interpretation, he'd forgotten what the dream was all about. How many of you ever woke up and had a big dream but you couldn't remember what it was and what it was about? Isn't that tormenting? Man, especially the real good ones. I want to be able to remember them, and sometimes I just can't. And Nebuchadnezzar was in that kind of shape, except Nebuchadnezzar, as an ancient king, had power and evidently some pent-up anger, because he told every wise man in Babylon, if somebody doesn't interpret this dream, we're going to execute you all. You're going to die. As a matter of fact, he says, I just want you to know how it's going to look. He says, I'm going to cut you into pieces and turn your houses into dung hills. That's terrible, isn't it? He says, we're going to dump manure in your house after we cut you in pieces. He was a sweet guy, wasn't he? But God spoke to Daniel and gave Daniel clarity. And Daniel, when the king looks at him and says, can you tell me the dream and the interpretation of my dream? Daniel just says, I want you to know something, O king. He says, we know now that there's not a wise man, an astrologer, a magician, a soothsayer, a Chaldean, anybody that can interpret and tell you your dream. He says, but I want you to know something else. But there is a God in heaven. There is a God in heaven, and he can. There's a God in heaven, and he can. And so tonight's message is that there is a God in heaven. Aren't you glad there's a God in heaven? Now look, there are some people who dread the thoughts of the fact that there's a God in heaven. Why? Because they're unwilling to submit to him. How foolish could we be to somehow believe that we could outwit, outwork, outprovide God? Daniel, all along, living as a minority Christian in a majority pagan land, over and over and over and over again, proves that it's best to serve God. And in a moment when every wise man in the nation of Babylon, every wise man's life was on the line. Everything the world had to offer, every smart person that ever walked on two legs and lived in Babylon could not do, but God could. There is a God in heaven. And I want to just share a few things with you from this story. Number one, there's a God in heaven who can when others cannot. Who can when others cannot. So we've come to the beginning of the story and we understand what's happening. King Nebuchadnezzar's had a terrible dream. King Nebuchadnezzar gathers together all the wise men, the wisest of the wise. And the Bible says in verse 2, the king commanded to call the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. We find out a little bit later in this text that someone else is recruited to try to interpret the king's dream, because Daniel says in verse number 27, Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, "The secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, and the soothsayers show unto the king." We see soothsayers entered into our list here. And basically, when we make this list of people, magicians, astrologers, sorcerers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers, we are incorporating all that the world had to offer at the time. The king says, "I had a dream, I can't remember what it is," but if you're a wise man like you say you are, if you are a sorcerer, an astrologer, a magician, a Chaldean or a soothsayer, if you are what you claim to be, you should be able to just tell me what the dream is and the interpretation. He says, if you'll tell me what the dream is, then I'll know you can interpret it. And the King Nebuchadnezzar is actually on to something. At one point in this passage of Scripture, he says, "Look, you guys have just made up a bunch of lies to interpret my dream." He says, "That's not going to do it. So I'm going to see if you really got what you claim to have. And I'll have you know something. Any person in this world who claims to know something that leaves God out doesn't know anything at all. And anybody in any person in our society that claims to put their confidence in anything the world has to offer and leaves God out, they're going to be greatly disappointed." And even old King Nebuchadnezzar said, "Look, you guys are full of lies, and so if you can tell me what the dream is, then I'll have some confidence in your interpretation. Otherwise, I just think you're blowing smoke." We have a God in heaven who can when others can't. I think about the magicians. The magicians in that portion of society represented trickery. You know, there's nobody on earth that does real magic. A magician was somebody who'd mastered the art of the sleight of hand. And back in the book of Exodus, in Egypt's land, there were men who'd figured out how to turn, or at least make the illusion of a stick turning into a snake. And I don't know about you, but I remember as a kid having the magician come to school and watching the magic shows, and I was always spellbound and amazed by it. But I understood early on that it was just tricks. It was just illusion. And so these magicians, though they claim to be magical, they represent in our society trickery. And I'll just have you know something. A person with the greatest sleight of hand, they may be able to do some pretty amazing things, but they cannot do what God can do. And God can do. There is a God in heaven who can when others cannot. The magicians had nothing to offer. The astrologers. At this time, the astrologers were the chief of scientists, and the astrologers at this time in Daniel's time could do some pretty amazing things. I would like to know more and more about the ability that astrologers had to time things, the ability that the astrologers had to keep notes. I can't imagine how the astrologers could keep notes on what was going on in the skies. I'm amazed by how the astrologers could help develop systems for navigation in the ocean. How many of you have ever been out on a body of water in the dark? Isn't that, it's crazy. But shipsmen, sailors, they could do their best sailing in the dark because they could travel according to the skies, the stars. I'll just tell you, the astrologers in Daniel's day were doing some amazing things, but I'll have you know something. They could not do what God could do. Amen. And folks, scientists in the year 2021 can do some amazing things. I go to the doctor when I need to go to the doctor, and I thank God for them. I take medicine when I need to take medicine. I thank God there's people out there a whole lot smarter than me that can come up with things like that. But I'll have you know something. There's never been a doctor, there's never been a scientist that's smarter than God. And there are situations and circumstances that come up in all of our lives that need God. And I'll have you know something, there's a God in heaven who can when others cannot. The astrologers, those that represented the science of the day, they could do some amazing things, but they couldn't do what God could do. And all people need God. The sorcerers. You see, he went to trickery, he went to science, then he goes to Satan. He says, well, maybe there's some demonic presence, and there's demons, there's no doubt about it, and Satan is the prince of the power of the air. And so he calls in the sorcerers. And you know something I'm encouraged about? Satan's really powerful, but he's not near as powerful as God. He's not omnipresent. He's not omnipotent, all-powerful. He is not omniscient, all-knowing. Aren't you glad? Satan is a defeated foe. He's been crushed by our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. And when Nebuchadnezzar called for a sorcerer to interpret his dream, we find something that Satan and the powers of Satan could not perform. You see, there's a God in heaven who can when others can't. Sorcerers, he called for the Chaldeans. The Chaldeans, I think it's quite fascinating that the Chaldeans are called in here. The Chaldeans are the modernist. They're the popular group of people in society. We meet them in chapter 1, verse 4 of Daniel. And we meet them. It's just the main group of people. It's the prominent race. It's the prominent people in the land. And the Chaldeans, the modernists, guess what? Their new way of thinking, it could do a few things along the way, and it could set some trends. But when the people needed God, modernism had nothing to offer. Daniel includes in his list in verse number 27, soothsayers. I think about those soothsayers. Guess who were the soothsayers? Have you ever been around somebody that was a soothsayer? There's nothing wrong with a soothsayer in certain elements. A soothsayer is somebody that can say something just right. It make you feel better. Some people call them crooners. Some people call them poets, actors, actresses, soothsayers. Daniel said, you've called on the soothsayers to come and whisper something sweet and soft into your ear, old King Nebuchadnezzar, and they cannot give you what you need. And it reminds me that the best of the best of entertainers and entertainment cannot give us what God can give us. We know that's true, but how much we as people lean on folks of prominence and fame. But Daniel made it clear. He said, look, Nebi, I think that's his new name, right, Nebi? He says, look, trickery can't help you. Science can't help you. Satan can't help you. Modernism can't help you. Entertainment can't help you. He says, but I know that there's a God in heaven who can when others can't. Folks, maybe you've tried everything there is to try. And if you need God, and you do, nothing else will ever satisfy. I'm so encouraged there's a God in heaven who can. Daniel, there was a lot of pressure put on Daniel's shoulders. Because if the interpretation of the dream does not come to pass, all the wise men, including himself, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, they're all going to die. Cut to pieces. Their homes become dunghills. But Daniel had nothing to fear. Why? Because there's a God in heaven who can when others cannot. Number two, there's a God in heaven who can without limitation. I like how this transitions. In verse 14, the Bible says, Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men. Verse 15, he answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? At this point, Daniel didn't even know why all the wise men were going to be killed. All he had heard was that King Nebuchadnezzar has commanded for all the wise men to be killed. And so Daniel comes and he says, hey, what's up with this? What's the deal? And Arioch describes and explains to him the thing. The Bible says in verse 15, then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Let me see what Daniel did. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. He said, King, would you give me just a little time and I'll get show you the interpretation. And verse 7, I so love this verse. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. What did Daniel do? Daniel had Christian friends that he could pray together with. I've over and over in the last couple weeks thought much about Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, and this little prayer meeting. I don't know why it's so significant in my heart, but I'm encouraged to think that there were men, one, who could meet together and pray over a matter that needed God's blessing. They didn't come together to slander the king. They didn't come together to slander society. They came together and they sought the Lord, and here's what they prayed for, verse 18. That they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. What do they want? They desired mercies of God, mercies of the God of heaven. What do? They petitioned God. Folks, I'll tell you something. It's easy to go to other sources in times of distress. It's easy in times of stress to go to somebody who'll tell you what you want to hear. Don't do that. You're going to cause great grief to yourself. It's easy in times of distress to go to a place where you can speak your mind even if it's sinful and wrong. Don't do that. Daniel had the right pattern. He trusted in faithful people and he prayed to the God of heaven. You see, we have a God. There is a God in heaven. Bible continues in verse 19. There was a great revelation. The Bible says in verse 19, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. God spoke to Daniel. God led Daniel. God made the matter very clear. Now, I'll just tell you something. I don't believe that God's going to speak to you in the night and give you Nebuchadnezzar's dream. But I do believe that God will give you clarity in the matters of your life. You seek God's will, you'll find them to be clear. Someone, often you're asked as a preacher, how do you know God's will? And I always just have to say, you'll know. If you seek it, the Lord, you'll know. And we say, and I say things that seem strange maybe to some folks, but we knew that it was God's will years ago to get married. We knew that it was God's will years ago to say yes and be the youth pastor at Temple Baptist Church. We knew that it was God's will years ago to uproot our family and move to North Carolina and pastor the Bowling Springs Baptist Church. And we knew it's God's will to come to Chilhowee Baptist Church. And we've known little things all along the way. It's God's will, and God makes himself known. Daniel, as he sought the Lord, God spoke to him. Do you have a burden in your heart? I challenge you to do something. My challenge to you is this. Seek the Lord. Wait on him. Listen for his direction. You'll find him faithful. Something I was encouraged about from chapter number 1 was when Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. He spoke to the eunuch that was in charge of all those Hebrew boys that had been kidnapped. He spoke to the eunuch. He said, why don't you let us prove it for 10 days? Let us prove it for 10 days. Let's prove God's food's better for us for 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, God proved himself. Hey, maybe you need to do something. You find yourself at wit's end, even tonight. You're getting ready to do something you know you probably shouldn't. Why don't you give God 10 days? You say you're distressed and burdened and you don't know what to do. Hey, just start right now. Count 10 days out and determine to trust God for the next 10 days and just see what he can do. He's faithful. So Daniel petitions. The king says, give me time. And Daniel prays for God's mercy, and God gives him the vision right when he needs it. What did Daniel do? In return, Daniel blessed the God of heaven. He praised the Lord. What does he declare? He declares that there's a God in heaven who can, without limitation. What is it that God can do, cannot do? Nothing. What is it that God cannot care for? Nothing. And Daniel begins to praise the Lord in verse 19. He says, Daniel in that night vision, God spoke to Daniel in that night vision. Then the Bible says, Daniel blessed the God of heaven, verse 20. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. Wisdom and might are his. I want you to know something. If you have wisdom and might, you can conquer anything. And Daniel understands something. He says, what I need to conquer anything comes straight from God. He praises the Lord for it. If you want wisdom, wisdom comes from heaven. If you want strength, strength comes from God. He says wisdom and might are his. If you want to make it through, you need to seek the God of heaven, because there is one in heaven who can. He says, I would praise God that He is, and they are his wisdom in heaven. Verse 21, the Bible says, he changeth the times and the seasons. Can you imagine all that's caught up in that little phrase? Daniel said, I thank you, God, that you changed the times and seasons. Now, in Daniel's time, they knew very little about the times and seasons. As a matter of fact, it'd be hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years later that the smartest people on earth would believe with great conviction that the world was flat. And you could float so far and it just fall off the face of the earth. Now, Daniel didn't understand that the earth was a circle, that as far as we know. And as far as we know, Daniel didn't understand that there was planets and a solar system, and that the moon and the sun were all working in perfect sequence to make the days and the seasons. But he says, Lord, I don't know how you do this, but I know there's part of the year it's cold and part of the year it's hot. There's two times that it's perfect right in between. I know that things grow and things die, and things grow and things die, and you're perfect. He says, I just praise you that you change the times and the seasons. Isn't that something? I want you to know something about your God. He changes the times and the seasons. He's put all the planets in perfect harmony and sync so that we have winter, spring, summer, and fall. And in Southwest Virginia, we have them all in the same week. God did that. Now, when I think about all my problems, and I have them occasionally, and I think about burdens, and some of them get heavy to bear. How many of you ever had a burden that was heavy to bear? I want to remind you of something. There's a God in heaven who can without limitation, the same God that spoke everything that is into existence, that put the solar system in perfect harmony, is the same God that rules and overrules and orchestrates in our lives. And I'm comforted by that. And Daniel said, I may have just been facing life or death, but there's a God in heaven who can help me. And he has. He says he's changed the times and the seasons. He removeth kings. Do you hear that? God removes kings. Also, he setteth up kings. Earlier in the book of Daniel, the Bible makes it very plain that God let Nebuchadnezzar, the wicked king of Babylon, rule over Jerusalem. Isn't that awful? That's how God understands better than we do. And God in his perfection, he setteth up kings. He removeth kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise. I like that. Verse 21, you see that? He giveth wisdom unto the wise. Sometimes we think out of the wise comes wisdom, right? But that's not the right order. Wisdom comes from God and makes the wise. The order's important. Do you know what encouraged me about that? I don't have to be the smartest man in the room to have God's wisdom. Because it's not out of the wise that comes the wisdom. It's out of God that comes wisdom and makes the wise. I'm thankful. He giveth wisdom to the wise, and the same's true about knowledge. And knowledge to them that know understanding. Verse 22, he revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness. How many of you have something out in the future? You say, I don't know how in the world that's going to work out. But sometimes it gives you indigestion. Daniel says, God knows what is in the darkness. Hey, there's a God in heaven who can without limitation. He knows what's in the darkness. He says, he knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. He changes his tune and he begins to praise the Lord. Verse 23, Daniel says, I thank thee and praise thee, O God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might, and has made known unto me now what we desired of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. There's a God in heaven who can without limitation. He praised the Lord for his faithfulness and his power. And finally, number three, there is a God in heaven who can change hearts and exalt his people. I'm encouraged. You know, at the beginning of this passage of Scripture, we see old Nebuchadnezzar. Man, he's mean. Can you imagine? He's not kidding. When he looks at and says, every wise man in Babylon, because he can't tell me what I dreamed last night in my bedroom all by myself, is going to die. Not only are they going to die, but it's going to be gruesome. We're going to cut you into pieces. And we're going to dump manure in your house. That's what we're going to do to you. He was serious. That guy, at the beginning of chapter number 2, speaks up at the end of chapter number 2, after Daniel gives to him his dream. The Bible says in verse 46, then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshiped Daniel, and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odor unto him. The king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods, and a Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldest reveal the secret. What happened? The same king who was threatening to cut masses of people into pieces and dump manure in their houses is now on his knees praising Jehovah God as the God of gods and the Lord of kings. Isn't that something? I am encouraged to see a wicked ruler on his face confessing that God is very God. I'm encouraged by that. And you know what? I still believe that it's possible. I still believe it's possible. And my prayer is not that God would hurt leaders who I disagree with, but that God would change leaders that I disagree with. And God would save the hell-deserving souls, men and women who've allowed their influence to influence a nation away from God. Hey, there was never a more pagan leader, ruler than Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar's season of coming around to faith in God is not over yet, but it happens. Before it's over with, Nebuchadnezzar gives his heart and life to God, the God of the Bible. And I'm encouraged by that. And you know what? I look at the condition of our society, and quite frankly, I have almost no confidence in any politicians and leaders. But I'll tell you, I do have confidence in God. And I know He's able. And I know that there's a God in heaven who can change hearts. And I'm praying for it. Will you join me? Hey, let's not hate those folks that we disagree with. Let's pray for them. Give them to God. Trust God with them. There's a God in heaven who can change hearts, but not only that, He can exalt His people. Look what happens. Guess who becomes the leaders in the nation of Babylon? None other than the heroes of our story, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The Bible says in verse 48, then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Verse 49, then Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. An interesting fact. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, as far as we know, spend many, 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 many years in this position. They outlive Nebuchadnezzar. They outserve Nebuchadnezzar in the government of Babylon. As a leader, I wonder, I can't begin to imagine how much good those four Hebrew boys, men, and then old men in places of authority did for the glory of God. And I'm encouraged by that. And I think about society. And I'm encouraged to know that when my heart's overwhelmed, when I'm burdened, confused sometimes, concerned about the future and the darkness that seems to be before us, I'm encouraged to know this very, very simple truth. There is a God in heaven who can. Hey, don't give up on him now. Trust in him and let him use you for his glory and his honor and for the betterment of our families and our communities. Let's trust in God. There's a God in heaven. Aren't you glad? There's a God in heaven. I'm encouraged by him too.